The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order.
Freeman out to meet him now. Freeman blocks the cross, prevents the corner. It's infield. The U.S. is hesitating. A bouncing ball picked up in the box. And that's the opening goal for Belgium. It was to Ketelaere. First to react in there on the cross. The U.S. players froze defensively. Trossard to the byline, gets across into Ketelaere's rising up, and Belgium retake the lead. Moments later, Richards beaten out of the air. Freeze has got to get there and deal with it. He takes it down off the chest to Ketelaere, knocks it away. Tim Ream can't block it, and unless video review says this is a foul from behind on Ream, it is a disaster.
What the hell is even that?
Got debacled.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Yes, indeed. In the immortal words of one Emmett Smith, we got debacled. What was that? Bad guys 4, USA 1, and it wasn't even that close. So it is crap 7, clear the line, and let the finger pointing begin for the good old Stars and Stripes. So it goes, everybody. Welcome aboard. It is the ZabeCast on this Wednesday, July 8th, 2026. Thank you for downloading. We got World Cup Nick Lochner, Clean Sheet EPL with us today. And man, what a game to throw out your D-minus effort. Or was it even worse than that?
I think it was worse than that. I'm not sure. That was a failing grade. Can't be easy graders here. That was a failing grade. That was atrocious. I want to have a little energy on the podcast here, but you know, holy cow, like just feel like you get punched in the gut. It was, it was brutal.
It was bad. It was bad all around. The way that the team came out flat, given the stakes and the moment and the stadium, is mystifying. And as much as we have fluffed up old Pochettino in his bowling shirt, this goes on the coach or the manager. The manager's got to get him pumped up. He didn't have him ready. So that's the first thing I'll say. They were not ready to come out and play.
They were not ready to come out and play. However, he took responsibility, as he should. It is on the manager. He's got to get him ready. No question. I would say, though, a larger percentage of this lies on the players from this standpoint. Been thinking about it a bunch. They couldn't handle the moment. It was a huge moment. Everything was lined up for them. It had just like a Super Bowl or something. It had all the distractions throughout the week with will Bolligan play, will he not play. There was just a lot of noise. And that, so yes, there was noise, but that's not an excuse. Yes, Belgium has more talent. Yes, Bolligan, was he going to play or not? And all the preparedness or non-preparedness because of that. Right. Yes, Belgium felt disrespected and were playing with a chip on their shoulder.
Right.
But at the end of the day, the players shrunk in the moment. They shrunk in the moment. They were missing on-field leadership. It's one of the things I love about soccer, but there's no timeouts in soccer. You get punched in the mouth in the first 10 minutes.
Only hydration breaks.
You get hydration breaks. But in general,
yes,
you know, when the momentum goes, you get no timeouts. And you looked at the players on the field looking at each other, questioning everything. And they got punched in the face. And I would say it a perfect symbol of the way they went out in this World Cup is Christian Pulisic's World Cup. He got kicked in the calf.
Yep.
At that first game for a half and didn't come back in, didn't play the next game. And in this game, he sprained his ankle. And they have magic spray, and they have everything that you can do. And when you're in the middle of a game and people have sprained their ankle before, and he waves to come off. And it was just the perfect waving example of they shrunk in the moment. They were looking for other people to step up. You know, you talked about pointing at each other. They were just pointing at each other. Am I supposed to follow you? Am I supposed to follow you? There's no leadership there on the field.
Yeah. Well, Pulisic is getting roasted, and I do feel a little bit bad for him. But then again, he's the man in the arena. He's the guy that is out there, and he has to understand that this comes with the job. If you can't handle the criticism when things aren't going well, you just need to quit and go become an accountant. So I get that. But on the other hand, he didn't choose to become like the face of American soccer. Like, that was kind of what the establishment said. Well, here's a good guy. He's fast and creative. He's our guy, right? Well, he was never that good, and he was always small. And then there's the fact that he won't power through injuries. Now, if you're legitimately injured and your leg doesn't work, I don't know what this magic spray you're talking about is, but if your body literally doesn't work, it's not good to be out there at 60%. So in that regard, hey, sometimes you leave the game because you're actually injured. But he has a rep. That's the problem. He has a rep on this that preceded him. And I even heard the story, Nick, about how when he was 17, he asked then U.S. national team coach Jurgen Klinsmann if he could skip a match to go back to senior prom in high school. And Klinsmann was like, is this a big deal in America?
yeah, Zabin. I'm not sure if you saw his post-game interview, but I think
Yes.
Okay. I mean, so I'm less, what's the word, lenient? I think a lot of it goes on his shoulders. I mean, you could say no to the TV program that gets produced for you with your name in the title. I mean, these guys are superstars in the countries they play. You can't shrink in the moment.
All right, here is his post-match interview with the All-American girl, Jenny Taft.
You're in a lot of pain. Had to be subbed off. What were you dealing with, fighting through?
Yeah, I mean, I just twisted my ankle and just sprained my ankle. I mean, it's just frustrating to end like that, of course. Now I have time to rest, so hopefully it'll be okay.
Time to rest? It'll be okay. The World Cup's over. What are you resting for? The next CONCACAF friendly? The fuck?
It's unfortunately that it's the mentality. I think we talked before, Zabe, about when I think I made a comment on, you know, some people like Pulisic, some people don't. And you were kind of surprised at that.
Yeah.
And this is an example of what some people don't like. I like the guy. He is a talent. But, you know, he plays for AC Milan. He kind of did the same thing. He played for Chelsea. He kind of did the same thing. And he's the face of the team. You know, it's kind of, I think of like NHL or NFL and some of that. And you kind of need your quarterback to be a leader and a tough guy and to lead by example because he's the face of the franchise. And it's kind of the same thing here. Whether he wants to be the face of the franchise or not, he's done everything leading up to it to be that. And I think a lot of it goes on his shoulders, unfortunately. But, you know, this isn't the Olympics, okay, where guys come together every 4 years. A lot of them are semi-amateur. It's different kinds of sports. These guys are professionals getting paid, you know, $20, $30, $50 million a year in significant leagues around the world.
What is Pulisic making for AC Milan?
What's he making?
Yeah.
I don't know his exact numbers, Zay, but I know it's over 20 million a year.
Over 20 million.
I should look it up. I don't want to be that
That's
guy
fine.
That.
That's fine. Okay.
Much.
So anyway, Pulisic has been getting hammered, and understandably so. But let's not spend too much time on him because we need to allot some time to Matt Fries and to Tim Ream. But first, on the coach for Belgium, number one, wearing a shirt and a tie, sweating through his armpits like crazy, hilarious, good for him. Rudy Garcia is his name, and he threw a surprise lineup out that didn't have players like Doku, De Bruyne, and Lukaku, who scored late after being a late substitution. This was a pretty masterful little curveball he threw out there.
Yeah, well, it was actually brilliant, and the reason he did it is because De Bruyne and Lukaku are old. Well, really, all three of them are aged, and they have great experience, great skill, but maybe not the athleticism that the guys that they put in there have. And the manager knew that the U.S. was going to press in their midfield. He watched what they've done the previous four games, and they were going to press in the midfield, and they were going to press up front, and their press actually hides their defensive flaws because the ball gets downfield less. I mean, that's kind of how the U.S. has been playing. And he basically took three great players who are not as athletic and put three young guys in there who are super athletic who are going to handle the pace and the speed. And it became very clear that they had no problem handling that.
Yeah. So there's that. Then there is, you find out, by the way, his salary.
I did. And I was incorrect. First time, I think, since I've been on this podcast, it's around $7 million a year.
Okay.
The total contracts between 21 and 28 million for his 3 or 4 year contract.
All right, good. Because, you know, when I heard the 20 million, I was about to say, I'm going to call an attorney because I believe that AC Milan is entitled to compensation for this kind of absolute ripoff that they've been a subject to. So then we turn to goaltender Matt Fries. I had heard from some guys who know the team. I'm like, what's the deal with Fries? And they're like, he's not good, but he's kind of the least bad of what we have. And then with the game in the balance, 2-1 Belgium, he comes out to challenge a ball out of the box, gathers it, has a chance to boot it away, and then chunks his wedge, sticks his foot in the ground. The color analyst on Fox stupidly, and it frustrated me, said, I don't know why he hesitated. And we're watching at home going, he didn't hesitate. He fucking chunked it. Are you not watching? It was a total choke job. And then poor Tim Ream, who had just one of the worst games ever, probably directly responsible for 3 of the 4 goals, just somehow clumsily backpedals and miraculously misses every part of the ball that would have kept it from going in. Woof. What an ugly, stupid-looking, hapless play, the likes of which I don't think I've seen from any other team this year in the World Cup. What the hell?
Ugly. And again, they got punched in the mouth early, didn't know how to react. And for those watching close, like, they ran at Ream the whole game. Like, not only did Ream have trouble with, you know, back in the box with goals, but anytime we were even up, you know, they would always push the ball to his side of the field and then just run right at him. And he couldn't handle it. But we don't, you know, that's the big problem, not the big problem, but a problem with this team. And it's why the midfield and the forwards were pressing so much to keep teams from getting onto our defense, is because, you know, he's kind of the best we got. Our central defenders and our goalkeepers are the weakness of the team. And they completely got exposed by a extremely talented team. And they punched us in the mouth, and that was it.
So Ream is 38. And as a center back, people are saying, how is it in a country of 330 million people, can we not find a better center back than a 38-year-old guy? He used to be a much better player, but age is undefeated. Why did they go with Ream as their center back at that age?
It's a mystery. He is the captain. He was voted the captain of the team.
Hey, how about
very
that?
Well respected.
Hey, but, how about
that? Hey, I know. I know. They're short of the talent back there. You know, what's interesting is, over the history of the U.S. men's national team, at least the last 30 or 40 years, goalkeeper has been jokingly the best player on the team.
Right. I mean, Tim Howard
was a great player. I mean, there were great players at goalkeeper, if only we had some field players. And suddenly that's been flipped.
Don't get it. Wikipedia briefly was edited on Matt Freeze's entry, saying Matthew Andrew Geary Freeze, born September 2nd, 1998, is a jackass who plays as goalkeeper for MLS's New York City FC. It doesn't help that this guy has an extraordinarily long neck. He is such a stork of a dude. And to have such a dorky mishap of that kick.
I feel bad for him because, honestly, he's had a pretty good tournament. He made a great save at the start of that game. He hasn't been tested that much again because, you know, the U.S. is ranked between 14th and 18th consistently over the last year. The FIFA rankings change every day. But they've been ranked right around that time. They're not as good as these teams in the top 10. Belgium's in the top 10. They're usually around 6 to 8. But when they're playing teams in the 20s and above, the U.S. can play the way they want to and handle it. And that's what they did in the first four matches of this tournament. And then you get to a team that's really good and a guy that, you know, they could hide a lot of their problems. I'll say another thing, Zabe, about goalkeeping and for the United States. They have, he gets the call to be the starter. They have another, the keeper that they thought was going to be the starting keeper, he went over to Europe to play.
Oh.
And he just started not getting playing time.
Who's that?
There's Matt Freeze and it's Matt.
Somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else. His first name's Matt. I'll get it in a second. But my point is this. So Freeze plays in the MLS, and he's been playing.
Yeah.
He's good enough, and he's been playing. Matt, I can't remember his damn name, he plays in Europe, and he had been playing, but he lost his job, and then he wasn't playing. And so now you got these two guys competing for a job to be the World Cup starter, and you have to decide against a person who you have tape on and you've seen what he's done the last year, and another guy who's barely been on the field and he's only been playing in practice. And that's, you know, one of the things that is unique to a tournament like the World Cup, where you're pulling guys from their club teams.
This is not Matt. Is it Matt Turner?
Yeah, Matt Turner.
Yeah. So the other Matt. So we had two Matt.
The other Matt.
And unfortunately, the goalkeeper position, at the worst possible time, turned into a doormat. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino. That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for all offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. So before I get to the bigger picture about American soccer, and I'll give my take and then you'll have a full soapbox to go forward with your summary of thoughts. And then we got to spend a little time on today's incredible thriller between Argentina and Egypt and the abomination that VAR has become.
Ouch.
But just real quick, pie chart the blame for me. Between these four pie slices, Pulisic and what he represents, Ream at 38 playing the back line, freeze in goal for that screw up, and then Pochettino, the manager.
All right. I would say
percent allocate.
Percent wise, I'm going 10% Pochettino. Okay. I'm going 10% freeze. And I'm going, that leaves us 80% left. I mean, 50-30 Pulisic to Ream.
Okay.
So, you know, Ream, and right or wrong, as the face of the program, Pulisic has to carry more weight. It's nowhere near the weight a Messi carries or Ronaldo carries or any of those guys, but he's supposed to be the face and the guy, and he's got to show up. And he played in basically not even half the World Cup, right. Didn't score, and went out injured. So I place the blame on Pulisic the most. Ream, you knew what you were going to get. You hit him pretty well when you could. I think – here's what I will say, Zay, before we get into the next subject. Pochettino changed. There is a different feel to this men's national team. He started 2 years ago with this tournament in mind, and his goal was quarterfinals, and he fell short. Yep. However, there's a different feel to this team from anything I remember, and when I hear realistic pundits online talking about this, they would say the same thing, that while this team got as far as other teams in the past and created some great moments, they are playing at a different level, and they've turned a corner, in my opinion.
Turned a corner. Hold that thought.
Okay, I'll hold the thought.
Hold that thought. I sarcastically said, but obviously some people still can't detect sarcasm. I said on Twitter, I go, you know, the most disappointing thing about this loss was I really thought we had a good chance against Spain, France, and Argentina, or parentheses possibly England. And some people 20% of the people, like, you're an idiot, what are you talking about, you're crazy, those teams would slaughter us. And that was just my way of being, hey, look at how steep the mountain gets, and look at how ill prepared generally speaking we are as mountaineers, as a soccer playing nation, to finally make that summit with the ropes and the cinches and the wedges and the gear and everything else. Like, we still don't have this shit to get up there. It's so steep. It gets so crazy steep. So here's my net. Of course, we once again are on the now square of the future's bright for U.S. soccer. And we've been on this square for 30 years. I've heard this after virtually every World Cup. The future is bright, which got me to saying also that we're the Dippin' Dots of soccer, the ice cream of the future. If you know anything about Dippin' Dots, you've seen that stupid slogan for years. It was not the future of ice cream. Ice cream is just fine. They don't need micro hyper frozen pellets that melt in your mouth. It was not the future. But whatever. Here's the deal. We are who we are, and it's fine. It's fine. It's fine to me. Now, it's not fine to those who want to be great in soccer and those who are trying to be great in soccer. And I'm not saying don't keep trying because you've made some inroads. But just my detached, non-involved in the process thought is we're trying to grow mushrooms in a sandbox in full sunlight. The conditions just ain't right for us. Like, we're doing it. We're growing some mushrooms, but we're having to do a lot. We're having to get shade for it. We're having to supplement the soil. We have to put water in all the time to keep it moist. Mushrooms, like great soccer, grows in the right conditions. Mushrooms grow in the dark and the moist and the peaty soil of the deep forests. We have a sandbox in America. It's in full sunlight. We're trying to do something really fucking hard. And I understand all the layers of things that work against us. The cost of travel soccer is prohibitive and insane. The incentive structure is completely out of whack. I get that we don't have a pro league that kids can aspire to go to. That's good enough. We have one that functions, that has teams, and they have fan bases, but it's nowhere near as good as it needs to be. And then the biggest thing to me is still the fact that our best athletes and the ones that would make a huge difference, because if you just have one Mbappe, one Messi, one Ronaldo, one whoever, it really tilts the field. All of the best of our best, the one of ones, the unicorns, they all end up in other sports. Because I don't believe for a second that if Tyreek Hill had grown up, Nick, idolizing soccer, that he wouldn't be an unstoppable fucking force. He'd run down every ball you ever gave him from beyond midfield. It'd be insane. I refuse to believe that Jason Tatum wouldn't be a great middle, you know, midfielder. I refuse to believe that we couldn't take one of 50 power forwards of the NBA, give him a year of training, and make him into great goalkeepers. We have the athletes. I mean, can you imagine Christian McCaffrey and Lamar Jackson as soccer stars? These would tilt the field in our favor, but we don't have that in America. We have other things that draw away the unicorns. We still get good athletes that gravitate to soccer. You saw them this cycle. But we don't get the unicorns. That will forever be against us. End of rant. And by the way, I'm fine with it, but again, I'm not a stakeholder. It's okay. We are who we are. We're trying to do something very difficult. It's fine. I don't like to bash too much about the fact that USA is not better after all this effort. I just think it's fine. We are who we are. And that's just my take on it. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I can appreciate that opinion. And I don't disagree with it. There are some things that, you know, I could nitpick at. What's that?
Feel free to push back, nitpick, correct as hard as you want.
Yeah, so I would say there is a skill set in soccer that some of those people could, some of those great athletes could take. You know, that I think it's harder than people understand. I think the burst and the quick, like Christian McCaffrey, I bet if he only played soccer, he's good enough to kick with his left and his right foot and do everything else that any other athlete could play. What I would say is there's, I think it's shifting. So the way I would describe it is this way. Right now, the guys like a Balogun and some of these guys, you know, they haven't had a lot to look up to soccer-wise, but they've had more than the people before them and the people before them. And I think hosting the World Cup again, seeing those guys, you have to remember, I forget this given my age, but almost every kid plays soccer now. Even if they don't stick to soccer, kids go play soccer. And now they're 25, 30 years ago, they didn't. Even 18, 20 years ago, they didn't play soccer.
When I was a kid, everyone played soccer at some point.
Well,
fields since the 70s. And even if everyone plays it, that's not enough. You must love it. You must love and obsess about the beautiful game. And we just don't have that culture yet. And I yet.
don't think we ever will.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, the number where I was as I'm stumbling around trying to push back, realizing that I actually agree with a lot of what you said. You know, there is the number one demographic of the World Cup is, what is it, like 18 to 25 year olds.
Okay.
In the viewership. And that number is bigger than it's ever been. And it's when I'm in a couple chat groups and people who follow soccer and follow the newsletter and stuff. And there's a ton of people under the age of 30. And I think they follow it way more. You know, when we generalize, okay, let's talk about all the sports fans in America and you group it all together. Yeah, the numbers aren't as big, but it's kind of like that age bracket follows it way more than they do baseball. They follow it way more than they do the NBA.
And that's great. And that's great. Following it is great. Playing it is great. Liking it is great. You have to love it. You have to live it. It has to be part of your soul. And you have to catch that bug early. And then nurture it so that you can score goals like the elite guys like Messi and whatever. Because the football, you know, it's like Ted Lasso, the Spanish guy in Ted Lasso. Football is life.
That's right.
I mean, we don't quite have that. Now, maybe we'll get that at some point. But even kids who get into football is life early on in this country, they might be gifted athletically. They're at such danger of being poached by the other sports, to have another sport catch their eye when they're just kids, to say, actually, now I'm in love with tackle football, or I'm in love with basketball, or I'm in love with baseball, or whatever. It's just really tough.
One thing that would help, Zabe, is it kind of always comes back to some of the money. If you're a really good athlete and you're age 12 and you're playing soccer and you're playing basketball or maybe even football, and you look at where do I want to kind of focus in the U.S. There's MLS, but it's not, you almost have to go internationally if you want to do it. And, you know, there's not the money. You know, you can go be Christian McCaffrey and go make your money in the NFL at that level of an athlete. And, you know, if he wanted to do that, he'd have to probably go internationally somewhere. And, you know, that's not an easy path either. And so, yeah, I think there's a cultural, a structural, but I do think the eyeballs are more and more going that way. And I think kids will start making more decisions to stick in that area. I'm not saying it's going to change overnight. And I'm not saying it's going to become the number one sport, but I would be willing to bet 20 years from now, there will be a lot. Our team will be a lot better. There will be a lot more eyeballs on it, a lot more energy.
Well, that'd be great, and I'm rooting for them. But I'm not, you know, I'm hoping we can grow mushrooms in the sandbox in full sun, but I'm not sitting here with my pizza waiting for them to be diced up and spread on it, because I think it's just a very tough thing. Here's some tweets I want you to get reaction to. Somebody said if the SEC and the Big 12 added men's soccer programs, it would go a long way towards developing players and developing a bigger fan base. Agree or disagree?
Not really. I don't think that. I think if there was a league outside of the college model for soccer, where you could actually develop players, where the best players would go and develop, that's the model to get world elite athletes. I'm not saying you can't grow and get something out, but college players play 3 months a year. I mean, it's kind of the idea of when you graduate high school and you're a baseball player, are you going to go to college and play baseball, or are you going to go to Arizona in the rookie league and play, you know, 9 months a year or 12 months a year? Big difference.
Right. Here's one. Maybe the problem wasn't Greg Berhalter, the former coach. It's that the golden generation, this current crop, isn't actually better than the Dempsey, Donovan, Bradley, Josie, Howard generation, despite the flashy professional clubs the new generation plays for. Agree or disagree?
I don't totally agree. This team and the skill set of the team is better.
Okay.
The older team was a better more prideful, grittier group who fought for everything. This team doesn't fight for everything.
All right.
But they're better players.
Here's one. 9 of the 11 starters for the U.S. men's national team can mostly cut it on this stage, along with a few subs. The two that can't play in the MLS, a goalkeeper that gifted an absurd goal and a 38-year-old center back that let a skeleton dominate him for a header from 3 feet from the goal. That's the problem. The roster isn't far, but the lows are embarrassingly low from a very small number of guys. Agree or disagree?
I would agree with that. And I would add, Egypt, we'll talk about this. Egypt and Argentina play today. Egypt's has 11, starters. 8 of them play in the Egyptian league. The Egyptian league is not a good league. 8 of their starters played in that. So yes, while, we're a couple players away, we also are that we need the right couple of players to be leaders.
Tonight on the Egyptian league, we got Giza versus Alexandria. Let me tell you, this is going to be quite the matchup. Okay, here's one for you. All the host countries got kicked out now. That's us, Mexico, and Canada. So now it's like we're hosting a party at our house that has hours to go, and we just want everyone to go home so we can go to bed. I totally disagree, because I'm super excited for the, exciting finish to this cup, and we had a great game earlier today. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. Do you agree or disagree that that's the dynamic?
I disagree. That's the dynamic. I think the ticket sales for if Colombia, where Argentina is in Kansas City coming up, the ticket sales are going to be through the roof. I mean, and especially now that we're down to, there's 102, 104 matches in this tournament, and we're at 90. We've got 2 today and 8 after that. I mean, that we're down to 10 matches. It's going to be a spectacle. Looking forward to it.
Agree or disagree that the whole youth soccer costs too much? Some say at least $5,000 a year per kid, maybe more. That's a bit of a red herring, because youth hockey costs that and then some, and we are world class at hockey. Is that an apples to oranges comparison that can't be made? Or is it valid saying, no, it's not the money, it's something else?
I don't think it's the money. I will say every kid's sport, and I have 3 kids who played all that stuff and the travel stuff. The money and the travel and the expectation is ridiculous. It's not right, but it is what it is. It's no different than any other sport. But I don't think the reason, soccer is in the position it is because it costs a lot of money and there's travel and blah, 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 blah. I think hockey is a great example of that.
Somebody said Norway made youth sports free 40 years ago, and they just made the quarters for the first time ever. To which somebody responded, yeah, well, your local Premier Ultimate Select Club just raised their fees by $1,000, and you still have to buy all the gear every year. Was that the case with you and your kids? You had to buy the gear every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the gear, all of it. And the gear that they don't even need. It's like right. You used to just show up with a T-shirt that was one color, probably the Optimist Club sponsored you. And you had your jeans on and maybe tennis shoes. Maybe the rich kids had cleats. But right. And now it's the batting gloves and the eye black. You don't need eye black when you're 10 years old. But, I will say to that Norway thing, I think the U.S. would be Norway if we had Haaland and Odegaard.
Well, that's,
I mean,
we need
a couple. I mean, you got Erling Haaland's a once in a lifetime. If he played for the U.S., we would be talking differently, I think, right now.
Yeah.
Like one guy.
That's what I'm saying. Erling Haaland, though, would be playing another sport, most likely in America, just by culture and by upbringing and everything else. We have to somehow get there a channel to be where we keep unicorns safe from being plucked by other sports.
Yep.
I don't know how you do that one. There's this. Would the U.S. have been better with clean mojo and no Flo Balogun, or the other way around? Some are saying, this put the team on a weird footing. It gave Belgium a real axe to grind. They did the Trump dance after they scored the final goal, as well as in the locker room. Do you buy any of that?
I think it probably would have been a little better. This is on the players, and there could be any distraction, and they didn't. This just happened to be one of the distractions. It just leaves a bad taste. Like, I would have preferred not to. He shouldn't have got the red card anyway. The U.S. Soccer Federation shouldn't have had to ask for it to be reviewed, and it just turns into something bigger than it needs to be, and it takes away from it. But I don't think it. I mean, that game would have not been any different in a result if that never happened.
Okay. There's this one. I'm going to show you this here. Who had the worst screw-up in that stadium as a Packer fan? Brandon Bostic trying to recover the onside kick against the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game, or poor Matt Freeze, our goaltender?
Boy.
It's a tough one.
That's a great poll question because it probably finishes 50-50.
Especially for Packer.
I got to say, the goalkeeper had a screw up, but the U.S., the way they played, did not deserve to win the game. That was a bigger screw up on the onside kick because the Packers deserved to win that game.
Yeah. This one, the men's national team is now 0-20-5 all time when conceding the first goal in a World Cup match. Their 25 matches played without a win are also the most in World Cup history. Wow. That's a tough.
Yeah, it's brutal. Now, I will say, when you're losing and playing to European teams in the World Cup and playing tough games, oftentimes you fall behind first and you lose anyway. So,
yeah,
you know, I would say a lot of those, they were going to lose anyway. But yeah, that's a brutal statistic.
Yeah. And then there's this, not so fast, Belgium. The city of Los Angeles still has another 29 days to count all the goals from tonight's match.
I saw that one. So we've got another month to try to score some goals, it sounds like.
Another tweet. I wish there was some Hawaii soccer game on after this so we could all try to win our money back.
I saw that one too. That's pretty good. And
then there's one. I know he had a rough World Cup, but I still believe Christian Pulisic has the potential to one day become the Andy Dalton of American soccer. That's so brutal. But funny. Okay. Let's talk about this thriller today. Argentina escapes Egypt 3-2. A brilliant strike by Messi to tie the game at 2-2, just under the crossbar. And then the game winner shortly after that. I, unfortunately, was taping a golf podcast, get to my car, turn on the phone. I see your texts. I run to Twitter. I see the highlights, and I was like, damn, I missed a banger of a game. And then I saw where VAR took a goal off the board for Egypt based on a foul they said happened over a minute prior in the run of play. Holy shit, what are we doing? If this really is VAR, it is legitimately sports Satan to me.
I just can't stand the VAR. I know we've talked a bunch about it, but yeah, it was, first of all, Egypt controlled a lot of the game. Argentina was tired. You could tell they had gone the extra 30 minutes the game before against Cape Verde, right? And they just looked tired, and Egypt was flying. They were flying all over the place. What you're talking about, Egypt was winning 1-0, and in the second half, Egypt, even the announcer during the game said, oh, it looks like they didn't call a foul on that, because it did look like a foul. And Egypt made 3 or 4 passes, got down the field almost in breakaway format, scored the goal. Guy rips his shirt off, everybody's celebrating. Bench clears, and all of a sudden the ref walks over to the monitor and everybody's like, what's going on? And there was a foul. I mean, the guy grabbed his shirt and pulled on it. You could see the tug. It impacted the play. But the fact that they didn't call it and let the play play out for that long is really the ridiculousness of the whole thing. So
I'm astounded. You know, I'm astounded the soccer community is putting up with this. Like, I would hope that soccer fans would say, this is not what we want. This is not sporting. This is not just. This is not entertaining. This is way too ripe for corruption. It looks terrible given that Messi is the star of stars left in the tournament and Egypt is just a, hey, what are you guys still doing here? It looks fucking terrible. And it's not sports to be doing that. Sorry, it's not.
Yeah, no, it's not. It looks terrible. I kind of like you know, the storyline around the NBA and putting their thumb on the scale to you know, with the outcomes, and you're like, ah, they're not really doing that, and there's no proof, and boy, I don't know how they. And then every time you're like, boy, it sure seems like it.
You can't.
And it's just the same thing because it's you know, then you because immediately you start looking for where's the ref from, what country is he from? Right. Is he for Argentina? Is he against Messi? Does FIFA control what he's doing? I mean, all those questions, and they're legit questions. Yeah. I don't think that's the case, but they're legit questions.
Yeah. I mean, they say that in ethics, that a conflict of interest is not just, hey, you have one. It's you must avoid even the appearance of conflict of interest, because that is what shakes public trust in somebody who is an official or in government, that you've got to steer so far clear of it. And this VAR usage is driving right into that neighborhood. And it boggles my mind that anybody could be for this. Who could want this abomination?
It's really for, they have, quote unquote, I say they right. have to get it figured out, because FIFA is the global governing body for all the national teams and all of that kind of stuff. UEFA runs Europe soccer, and they have their own rules around this stuff and how they train their referees, and South America, same thing.
Great.
Because so you'll see
schemes on it.
What's that?
Everyone's running different schemes on VAR. Great. That'll help.
There's not the consistency that you would think, because there are, you know, you have to think of it like, okay, there's the NFL and then there's 30 NFLs around the world, right? Yep. And so it makes it more complicated. And to add even more to the drama today during that match, after that happened and the game got tied up 2-2 on truly a brilliant Messi goal, who was bawling after the game. He was like crying his eyes out in joy. It looked like Egypt got fouled in the box on the other end twice and could have had a PK. And in fact, you thought they were at least going to look at it, and they didn't even look at it. So that even adds more to the drama.
Yeah. There was a great shot of his teammates tossing Messi into the air as he just smiled joyfully right after the match. Super slow-mo. Great asset by Fox. Great highlights. Good stuff. All right, couple more real quick. My girlfriend has started referring to injury time as loosey-goosey mystery time, and I'm not going to lie, I hope that one sticks. Then somebody said, have we tried more Jalens on the men's national team? Seems to work in the NBA. Too many Jalens in the NBA. How'd there get to be so many Jalens in the NBA? Well, I don't know, but it was a good run. It was a good run. Won a great tournament. It was a good tournament. Wasn't great. I can agree with you on that. Let's hope American soccer keeps striving and making strides. Let's hope they're turning the corner. Let's hope that Dippin' Dots finally arrives as the ice cream of the present, not just the ice cream of the future. And I'm going to enjoy the rest of these fucking matches, including tonight's Colombia versus who match? Switzerland, right?
Switzerland. It's going to be a close match. I'm kind of hoping Colombia wins, because Colombia and Argentina have been selling out these stadiums 90% full. Mm-hmm. And if those two teams would play, if Colombia wins in Kansas City, and it's going to be something to see on how much those tickets go for, because each fan base has about 70,000 people showing up to these games. So that's going to be pretty cool. And then, you know, France and Spain, or France and Morocco. Yeah. That's going to be a good one. And Spain and Belgium. So the team that the U.S. just lost to, who probably has a nice little springboard themselves. So,
and then we got England, Norway, the battle of the cross flag teams, with the star matchup of Haaland versus the nose, Harry Kane. And then it's Argentina versus the winner of this Switzerland-Colombia match tonight. So
that was a great, I think I sent you a text about, now that the U.S. has been knocked out, there's a Norwegian guy that's trying to convince the U.S. fans to root for Norway. And he said, here's why. The Vikings discovered America before Columbus. There are more ethnic Norwegians in the U.S. than there are in Norway. And next weekend, we can pillage the English peasants together.
I like it. All right, Nick Lochner, Clean Sheet EPL. Search for it online. You'll find it. Clean Sheet EPL. Just an American-born Wisconsin sports fan who fell in love with soccer when he was traveling for work over to Europe. And he writes about the EPL and soccer, so he will not talk down to you. He will not be condescending. He will not be, get out of my tent, you infidel.
Room
like
in the tent.
Soccer guys will. He wants everybody in to revel in the beautiful game. All right, Nick. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Abe.
You know what I love about baseball? There's a game every single day. That's not a complaint. That's a gift. And right now you've got playoff basketball and playoff hockey running alongside the everyday of baseball. That's not a sports calendar, my friends. That's a buffet. MyBookie.ag has all of it. And if you're new, here's the deal. Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. First bet loses, they give you the money back, up to $500 in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for signing up. One rollover, that's it. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. Now, go find a game.